Why did Frederick III risk his realm of Saxony to protect Martin Luther and the developing reforms of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Frederick the Wise by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, the gospel writer John is a, well, he always does his own thing, but when he does his own thing, there's always a reason for it. He has Jesus appearing after his resurrection, not just once, but three times. Now, we're told Jesus appeared many times over the course of the 50 days after his resurrection, and to many people. John records three times. One, well, actually, the first two are very familiar. On Easter evening, when he appears to the 10, then to the 10 plus Thomas, those are the famous ones. And then up in Galilee, where Peter and the other disciples who are fishermen have decided to go back to business as usual. And there Jesus appears to these disciples, and especially to Peter. Sometimes it's thought of as Jesus reinstating Peter. So what do we need to know about Peter, especially in the weeks before this, before we get into this story in John chapter 21? Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday afternoon. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
And thank you.
What do we need to know about the relationship here between Jesus and Peter before we get into their conversation in John chapter 21?
Yes, Peter has an impetuous kind of understanding about himself. Time and time again, he kind of puts his foot in his mouth. Jesus says he's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to die, and he's going to be raised from the dead. Peter says, no, I'm going to defend you. Get thee behind me, Satan. And there's just a number of times that Peter is really quite flustered. But the one that we need to really understand occurs in John chapter 18, where at the trial of Jesus, we find Peter denying Jesus three times before the rooster crows twice, which is, of course, exactly what Jesus had predicted. So when we come into chapter 21 and we see that Judas is not brought back, but Peter seems to be brought back, we might have a real question there, because did not both deny or betray our Lord? And that would be the background as we move into chapter 21.
Okay, so we have a, from Peter's perspective at least, a big loose end when it comes to Jesus. Although he has seen Jesus, he has heard Jesus pronounce peace to him there earlier in John chapter 20, there's something that still needs to be done.
Yes, he had denied Jesus three times, and Jesus is going to be doing something here to affirm that he is back as an apostle.
So do we have any idea what they're doing in Galilee at this point?
Well, that's kind of where they lived, where they do their fishing, and it says very clearly which of the disciples were there in chapter 21. Simon Peter says to them, I'm going fishing, and those who were with him, and some of them are mentioned, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, we will go with you. And so they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing. And we then, it is revealed that Jesus is standing on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Now, that could be because maybe God hid his real presence as he did with the Emmaus disciples on that road. Or it could be that, you know, they could have been about 500 feet away and they didn't recognize who he was because of the distance between the boat and the shore.
Now, they're going back to business as usual. Jesus appears there. It sounds a lot like, or it has some parallels, it seems, to maybe one of the first times that Jesus has met these disciples.
Yes, and this is really critical. In fact, the Sunday school teachers ought to take a look at Luke chapter 5 and then John 21, because we have a great draft of fish caught, again, where the boats are almost sinking, but there's a significant difference between Luke 5 and John 21. In Luke 5, it says, when the boats were so filled that they began to sink, and Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." But in John 21, when the disciple whom Jesus loved, assuming that to be John, says to Peter, the person on the shore is the Lord, Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea to get to Jesus. What a difference. And it reminds me of the Isaiah passage, Isaiah 6, where Isaiah says, "Boy, I'm a man of unclean lips. Depart from me, Lord, for I am sinful." He thought he was going to die. But you see, this is a long gospel distinction in my view. When you think that you can only come into the presence of God by your works, then you will say, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." But Peter had heard the words of Jesus, as you already indicated, Todd, on that first night, "Peace be with you." And he knew that therefore he could come into the presence of Jesus because of that word that came from Jesus, including the forgiveness of sins. And so that's why I believe he jumped into the sea to get to Jesus in John 21, whereas in Luke 5, he said, "Jesus, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man."
So there's faith at work here in Peter. Peter realizes that he is absolved of his sins.
Well said.
So with about a minute here before we take our break, Peter here is being highlighted, it sounds like, as someone who wants to be in the presence of Christ whenever he sees him.
Yes. Remember, Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter wants to get to him, and he ends up walking on the water until he takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at his environment and begins to sink, whereby you would think that any other God would say, "Okay, don't believe in me, sink." But Jesus reaches out to save him, and we're going to see that also after the break here.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click listen on demand. We'll teach a little bit more of a Sunday school lesson with him on the other side of the break, and then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. We'll talk with him about Jesus apparently forbidding prayers with empty phrases. Stay tuned. What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift," and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Tom, let's walk through some of the questions here, the questions that Jesus poses to Peter. It's hard not to notice that he poses a similar or same kind of question three times. What is it and what is Jesus getting at?
I believe he does it three times in light of the fact that Peter had betrayed him or denied him three times, as is clear, at the crucifixion trial. Each question sounds like the same in the English, where Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, there is a discussion among scholars because it's somewhat interesting. In the first two questions, the question that Jesus asks uses the word agape, but the word that Peter uses is the word phileo, where we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And one can make a case that even though there are four types of love in the Greek, only agape and phileo and the love for family are used in the Bible, which is storge, agapeo and phileo. Now, without getting too technical, some people will point out that in the Septuagint, these words are used interchangeably, and so there's really not that much of a distinction. But in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that uses agape, which is a sacrificial love. And so if you wanted to translate it and think there is a difference in the meaning, it would be somebody like saying to me that I had denied or done something wrong to you and said, do you really love me sacrificially? And I would say, well, you know, I really appreciate you and I consider you my friend, but I wouldn't use the word love here. That's what Peter does the first two times. Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you really sacrificially love me? Well, no, he had just denied him three times. So he says, no, I really instead phileo you. And that word phileo is a strong emotional connection. In fact, as I was doing some study on this, I thought this was really helpful. You can agape your enemies, but you cannot phileo them. In other words, you can so love them that if you wound them, you're willing to try and give them medicine and help heal them, as occurs in a war. But you cannot phileo them. You don't appreciate them. You don't really like them a lot. And so if we're going to make a distinction, and as I said, scholars disagree as to whether or not that was really meant by John to have this distinction, but if you're going to make it, it's quite interesting that in the third question, Jesus uses, do you phileo me? He uses the lesser level of love, and I think that is tremendous because, as C.F.W. Walther mentions in his Law and Gospel distinctions, whom does God choose to do ministry? And the answer is sometimes the worst of sinners. And in fact, pastors confess we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And I think that this is really strategic, that the children in the Sunday school may wonder, well, I don't really love God the way I should. I appreciate him, but sometimes I fail. Does he still love me? Well, if he's going to make great sinners pastors in the church, he certainly is going to love children also, as he has promised in his baptism. So I think there's some significance there, but I want people to be aware that scholars disagree that there really are that much of a difference between the two words in this context.
And what do we make of Jesus' words to Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs?
Yes, this is a restoration back to the ministry. In fact, he had already said that. Whosoever sins you forgive, they will be forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they will be retained. And we see this happening. Who did the Pentecost sermon? None other than Peter himself. And when the people were cut to the heart, what did Peter say? They said, what can we do? Well, he told them something they can't do, that something would be done to them, namely, be baptized. It's a passive. It's something that God will be doing to them. And guess what? They will receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus meant by feed his lambs, feed his sheep. The Holy Christian Church is the people of God gathered around word and sacrament, and Peter is being given, as the rest of the apostles and every pastor, is giving the task of feeding those sheep and lambs.
So what would you say to the kids in the Sunday school classroom about how this applies to them?
The children, like the Sunday school teacher, like the pastor, are not always faithful to Jesus. We deny him. And in fact, I was just in a conversation at a Bible study where people were saying that they know individuals who think that pastors don't sin. They have such a high view of them. We need to realize that all of us sin. So though we are faithless, and this was a very good job, by the way, that the Growing in Christ series did, they said, even though we are faithless, Jesus remains faithful. And I think this is something very important, not only for the Sunday school teacher and the pastor, but the students. None of us have a sure footing that we will not fail. But like Peter, with Jesus' help, we can stand. And one last point. The Bible is very clear, and unfortunately, the King James in Matthew 27, verse 3, says that Judas repented himself. They use the word repent. Fortunately, none of the other translations do, because it is not the proper word for repentance. It's instead that he was remorseful. He was sorry the way things were working out. There was not true contrition and love for Jesus in Judas's repentance. It's kind of like somebody gets arrested for robbing a bank, and you say, are you sorry you robbed the bank? Well, yeah, I got arrested. But had he not been arrested, he wouldn't have been sorry. That's Judas's sorrow. It's not true repentance. Whereas when it says that Peter repented, it uses the word which includes both contrition over sin and faith in Jesus. And that's why when he heard that it was Jesus on the shore, he jumped into the water to get to Jesus as fast as he could.
Finally, then, this is really an opportunity to highlight law and gospel as the way that Christ continues to deal with us sinners. With about a minute here, how would you put that in the framework of what we've been discussing here in John chapter 20?
Every religion in the world is a religion of the law, in that it tells you what you need to do, what you need to think, what you need to say, what you need to sacrifice, what you need to offer, what you need to do by thought, word, and deed, in order that God will like you, love you, and then maybe save you. Christianity is the exact opposite. God saves sinners. What do you have to be to go to hell? You have to be a sinner. What do you have to be to go to heaven? You have to be a sinner. Only sinners go to heaven. The difference is through faith in the promises of the gospel, sinners who are believers have had their sins forgiven. And therefore, through faith, they enter into heaven, whereas those who do not believe do not go to heaven. It's a huge difference, and we can only thank God that God has regarded particularly the Sunday school children like he regarded Peter in bringing him back into a right relationship with himself so that heaven is their home also.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Pastor Baker mentions this Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House, and it is one of those kind of getting things back on the right track. Often Sunday school curricula are way off the track. They would take a story like this and make it more about Peter than it was about the mercy that Christ continued to extend to him and continues to extend to us. You see how growing in Christ is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about this Sunday school curriculum. Concordia Publishing House will send you a free sample. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We do a series with him responding to evangelical proof text. Today we'll go to Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus, some Christians say, Jesus is forbidding us to pray from books, written prayers, prayers that anybody else has said before, repeating ourselves. Is that what Jesus is forbidding in Matthew chapter 6? We'll answer that question right after this. Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc., issuesetc.org.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.